Hello, and welcome back to another Walking Movies. I'm Nick, and I am walking to the movies to see the breakout hit of the year. I think it's safe to refer to it as such. A film called Everything Everywhere All at Once. I have to look at that while I'm saying it because I'm worried that I'm going to get it wrong in some way. Putting a bag back on my shoulder. But before we talk about that a little bit, after the last recording, which was Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, let's see a little story. So, the next morning, spoke to my wife, and I told her what I thought about the film and its suitability for our daughter. And I said, I don't think it's really that suitable for her. I don't think she'll like it. And she said, nonsense, we're going to go. So we booked tickets to go and see it Saturday morning. My wife figuring, well, if we see it early enough, she'll be all right by bedtime. And as we walked into the screen, the persons on the pedestal, kind of one, probably the other, pointed to little Alex walking in. And my wife thought it was because of what my daughter was holding, which was a cuddly toy and a dictionary. And I said, no, it's nothing to do with that. I laughed. And we watched the film and we came out and same woman was there. And she said, how was she? How did she find it? So Alice talked to her and told her what she thought of the film. And she said, I was so scared when you was walking in there. She said, I thought she's not going to like it. She's going to want to leave. I said, no. I said, she made us turn the stuff that even I thought she was. She said, oh, I saw it on an early screening. She said, I hated it. Like, it just scared me too much. We laughed. So there was debate about how the suitability for kids. I was wrong, clearly. Because if Alice can watch it, then I'm sure yours can too. But to be honest, it's too late saying this story now, really, because you've probably already gone to see it with your kids. Because it's been a big box office hit. It's taken... I haven't got it in front of me, but I think last time I looked, I think it took about 650 million in its first week globally, which was more than the original Doctor Strange. So, I mean, some of that will be Marvel hangover from Spider-Man, and also the fact that, you know, it's a Marvel film, and also there's not been a whole lot, so we're kind of catching up. But I think it also had generally good reviews. Now, interestingly, Sinead, who probably listens to this, wasn't a fan. And it does seem to be quite polarising to people. So although most of the reviews have been pretty good, actual real-life people seem to be a bit more mixed on it, which was interesting. But it did take me down a Sam Raimi rabbit hole of sorts, and after seeing it again a second time, I went and watched for the first time Evil Dead 2 and Drag Me to Hell, which are both quite fun. Neither I thought were particularly scary. I mean, I think Drag Me to Hell, I want to say it was like a PG-13 anyway. Evil Dead was an 18, but I didn't think it was particularly gory. Lots of over-the-top blood, but I guess kind of quite tame compared to today's standards. But both good films. Anyway, I've seen it a second time, and I enjoyed it just as much a second time. The Avatar 2 trailer in 2D did look disappointing. Again, James Cameron obviously specifically trying to make a film for a 3D audience, but the difference in seeing it in 2D and 3D was very, very stark. So definitely one to catch in 3D when that comes out. I'm sure that'll be a return of the boom for 3D films. That's my prediction. Just for Avatar, though, I'm not saying the industry's going to going to go mad on 3D films again, but I think that will give it a boost. So, Everything Everywhere All at Once. All I know about this film is from a trailer that I saw before the Nick Cage film. I'm not even going to say the title. The Unbearable Weight. The Importance of... whatever. Anyway, the Nick Cage film. So I saw that and thought, oh, this is interesting. Now, I'd heard a lot about this film because I think it's been out for a couple of months now in America. Had a limited release. It's expanded week on week as it's been doing so well. And it's done very well. It's done very well for a kind of low budget indie release. It's had legs even against you know, juggernaut films like The Batman and Doctor Strange. So yeah, it's doing well. It's directed by Dan Kwan and Daniel Schneinert, who are collaboratively known as the Daniels, or just Daniels. So it's directed by Daniels. It stars Michelle Yeoh, who, you know, has been in lots of films over the years, including Bond. Which one was she in? Tomorrow Never Dies, maybe? Can't remember now. Long time ago. It's also got Ki Hu Kwan, who is a name people of my age will know, because he was had very iconic roles in Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom. I had to remember what the title was then. And also the Goonies. And he gave up acting. He wasn't... I think he was being a bit typecast. I think he wasn't being offered, you know, any kind of, like, meaty roles. And so he retired. And so this is his return to mainstream films. Jenny Slate is in it, and Jamie Lee Curtis. James Hong, again, someone who puts on a lot of stuff. And Harry Shum Jr., who... I think I'm right in his name. Let me just double check. Yes, he was in Glee. Of which somebody posted a Twitter thread today to celebrate the 13th anniversary of Glee with some of its highest slash lowlights in terms of musical performances from the show. And I mean, I tapped out of Glee quite early. I want to say season 2, maybe. But Jesus Christ, I forgot just what a ridiculous and mad show it was. And I mean, I don't think it would have made it past its first season in today's day and age, but oh man, it's quite something, that Fred. Yeah, that's a nice way I can say about it. So this film, all I know is that it is another multiverse film, but not in a cinematic universe like Doctor Strange was, but just in the character's life. It looked really interesting. So, you know, I think the problem is, with a film like this, seeing it now, after it's been out for a few months, after, you know, you've seen lots of people talking about it, I've not read any reviews, and in fact, here's a podcast recommendation for you, actually. Commode and Mayo's Take, which is the podcast that has replaced the long-running BBC Radio 5 Live film review show that used to do on a Friday. They left and they are now just doing it as a podcast, and it's like this, but with someone who knows what they're talking about and with a budget, I guess. But it's very good, and they get to interview celebrities, and they'll review the week's new releases and talk about a bit about TV now as well. But good podcast. But anyway, I was listening to it the other day, and he then started talking about this film, so I haven't listened to the rest of the episode because I didn't want to hear his take. It's quite weird, actually, because I never listened to Mark Kermode, because I used to think he was very snobbish about films, and to be fair, he kind of is. But I don't know if it's as he's got older, or just as his taste changed, I don't know, but he seems a bit more not celebratory, but not quite as judgmental, I think, possible. I mean, still, he still has big judgments about films, but yeah, I tend to find I agree with a fair bit of his stuff, but I also disagree with some of his critiques as well. But it's a good show. So if you like films and it done properly, then you know you can go listen to that. But yeah, so I don't know how funny this film's supposed to be or how serious. The trailer looked good, and that's all I wanted to know before going to see it. So I will tell you what I thought on the other side of the little Austin Powers jingle that I put in right about here. Well, I'm pretty much at a loss for words. I'm going to have to say something. But that is the weirdest, one of the weirdest films I've ever seen. It is unlike anything I've ever seen. Wait, okay, it's not strictly true. Because if I had to describe, no, that's not me, I haven't just been crying, that's a lie. If I had to describe what the film is like, it's like The Matrix mixed with John Woo, mixed with Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, and probably some other stuff as well. It's very funny. I'll say that. It is actually very funny. But it is, it's remarkable. I've never seen anything like it. In the whole context of everything, I mean. Wow. Now, I don't know where in the world it's, but it is available on video on demand as well. But I do recommend going to see it at the cinema. It is, it's special. I think that's the easiest, best way of describing it. It is something, yeah, really, really unique. What's really funny is, other than the film, is the fact that, you know, the last film I saw was Doctor Strange in Multiverse of Madness. And this is another multiverse film. And I really like Doctor Strange, but man, I wish this film had come out about a year or so before, because I can only imagine what Doctor Strange could have been if they're taking cues from this. Yeah, so it's crazy, it's remarkable, it's unlike anything you've ever seen, and it's got a lovely story to it. Yeah, I understand the hype. At times, I was absolutely bewildered with what was going on. I did find it, at times, a bit hard to follow. It all made sense by the... Well, it didn't all make sense by the end, but it did make sense. In some ways. But, yeah. Just, yeah. It's been a long time since I walked out of the cinema and felt that way about a film. Just walked through some mud. That was great. Didn't see that. It's dark. Everyone in it though was great. Trying to multitask here, and I'm struggling. I want to get the cast list up. We already spoke about Michelle Yeoh before. But yeah, I mean, she was great. Ki Hugh Kwan was great. Harry Shum Jr. is not in it much, but he plays, it's quite a one of the funnier roles. Jamie Lee Curtis is great. Jenny Slate's only in it for a slight bit. I was expecting to see her more. I wonder why she doesn't appear in it very much. But Stephanie, I don't know how to pronounce her name. Stephanie Zhu. Hope that's right. Was their daughter, and she was fantastic. I don't know how they made it. I really don't know, but I'm glad they did, because, as I said, it was just I don't know. What I don't understand is who saw that script and was like, yeah, we'll finance that. It's such a batshit crazy concept that I'm glad it got made, and I'm glad it's been brought to a lot of people's attention. I'm now interested, now I have seen it, I'm going to go and listen to the rest of Commode and Mayo, so I can hear what he thought about it, and try to find other people's views and opinions on it, because I'm really interested in what other people think about the film. Now, this bit sounds different because my Zoom recorder just died. Those batteries have lasted, I think, since January. I think that's when I started using it. So everything I've recorded on that Zoom recorder has been since then. So really good battery life. That was two AAA batteries. But yeah, I think I am going to go down a bit of a rabbit hole now, just to see if what I took from it is similar to what other people took from it. But man, it's, yeah, I mean, you can hear with me trying to talk about it, it's hard. I mean, what I would say as well is try and go in as spoiler free as possible. I saw a trailer. The trailer, I don't think really gave too much away, which is always great. But as I said, it's one of the funniest things I've seen in a long time. And I don't think it's necessarily being marked, promoted as being a comedy, but the whole, and it was a fairly packed screening. It wasn't one of the biggest, well, it was one of the biggest screens they've got, but also one of the smallest, well, can't call it a screen. Can't call both things a screen. You can't call the auditorium a screen and that the screen. But massive screen, not many seats, probably about 100 or so. But it was pretty packed. And it was a good audience film because of it being so humorous. So that was a good experience as well. But yeah, it's insane. It's not a film that I can see myself re-watching lots of times. I will definitely re-watch it. I'm definitely going to watch it at home. I'll rent it or purchase it on demand if I can. I don't know if it's available in the UK yet, but it's definitely available in the US. But yeah, I mean, I think if you want to go and see it, try and see it at the cinema. It was a really good experience, but it's a hard film to try and explain without ruining it, and I do think you'll benefit more the less you know going into it. Hopefully the better experience you'll have with it, but I really, really enjoyed it. it's definitely one of the probably is the best film I've seen so far this year, and it's a really good example of why cinema needs to be as diverse as possible. Look, I love my Marvel films, I love my big tentpole films, I love my franchises, but I also love cinema, and trying to see films that you may not have picked to see as well. And I'm guilty in that, you know, with quite a lot of films, if it is a smaller film, I mean, this is an A24 release, so they're only quite independent films. You should try and make more effort to go and see them. I think I do get put off sometimes as well, because if they are in one of the really small screens, it's not the best way to go and see a film. And you're paying the same amount to see it on a much smaller screen than if you was seeing the latest Marvel film on one of the bigger screens. But I think it's exactly why we should see other things than just those big blockbusters. So yeah, I wasn't going to talk about it too much, and I've probably talked about it just as much as most of them to see, but just really enjoyable, very special film. It's not going to be for everybody. I'm not going to try and say it will appeal to everybody. It is very quirky, and that might put some people off. It's something you've got to really pay a lot of attention to. Now I've got the hiccups. Something you'll really pay attention to. So again, if you're someone that likes to kind of watch stuff a little bit in the background, this isn't going to work. It is mainly English, but quite a lot of, I believe, Cantonese. Could be wrong, could be Mandarin, don't know. I'm not familiar with my Chinese languages as much as I should be, not as much as John Cena. So there is a fair bit of subtitling in the film, but loved it, and I hope you enjoy it even half as much as I did. Really, really glad I came out tonight to see it, and be interesting to see what other people think of it. So if you do go and watch this, then let me know your thoughts. I like to hear them. So that's it for now. I don't even want to think what the next film... Well, actually, I know what the next film's going to be. It's probably going to be Top Gun. That comes out in a week's time as I record this episode. So that will probably be the next thing I go and see at the cinema. Trailer watch. Saw Elvis. I wasn't paying particular attention to it because I'm probably going to see it and I don't want to see too much of it, so I wasn't really paying attention to that. There's a film called The Black Phone, which looks really creepy, but I think that'll be one that I go to cinema to see. And there's another one from A24 coming out called Man. I'd seen the trailer before. It's got Jesse Buckley and Rory Kinnear playing a whole cast of characters. Looks pretty disturbing as well, mainly because of the multiple Rory Kinnears. But, they're both great actors. And it's by Alex Garland, who did Ex Machina a few years ago, which I really enjoyed. So yeah, I think that was it for trailers. Oh, there was a trailer for Top Gun 2 again. I feel like I did not watch any of it because I've seen it so many times. But that was trailers. So yeah, go and see Everything Everywhere All at Once as soon as you can. And that will do. So I will hopefully be back with another episode next week. I'm back doing that After Dark stuff next week with some Patreon shows. So if you're Patreon, enjoy those. And if you're not, why not? You should be. The best content's over there. And until next time, congratulations, Craig, on Liverpool winning the FA Cup.
I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. I wish I...
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.